And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to today's show. Well, the first snow of the season has arrived on the hills in Kelowna, but luckily all the grapes are in the barn, and that's what we'll be talking about on today's show. Joining us are Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Aurelio Montes Sr., you won't want to miss that legendary Chilean wine personality. We'll catch up with him. Grant Stanley from Spearhead Winery gives us a masterclass on Pinot Noir clones. But up next, Mike Dow, the winemaker and owner of Liber Estates, joins us to talk about his new visitor center in Osoyoos. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and you are set to go.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A place to relax, take your time, and enjoy the beautiful autumn weather and world-class wine and culinary scene. With over 90 wineries within a 20-minute drive, along with distilleries and cideries, 8 local craft breweries, and a fantastic variety of locally sourced restaurants, Penticton is the perfect destination for a peaceful fall getaway. For details on wineries, tours, tasting room, and restaurant hours, and for more trip inspiration, head to visitpenticton.com.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs, Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
One of the best things about drinking wine today is that inexpensive wine has never been better. Helping you to improve your wine knowledge and find great buys in the marketplace has been a lifelong goal of mine, because once you become a savvy shopper, you can influence retailers to start selling better wines at better prices. So learning just a little bit more about wine can improve the local selection in your neighborhood. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and I invite you to visit us at gismondionwine.com to become a savvy shopper and drink better wine.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. And a shout out to those listening on AM 1150 Kelowna and all 25 other cities in total across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Mike Dowell. He's the winemaker and owner at Liber Estates in the, several places in the South Okanagan as well as the Similkameen. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. I didn't have to harvest anything. You did. Are you done?
I'm done, yeah. We were done a couple weeks ago when we pressed the Cap Franc, and just waiting to put it into barrel once it finishes malolactic in the tank.
Wow. Well, for people who don't know Liber Farm and Winery, you've got three key sites now, and all of three of which I visited recently with you, which I just love. Why don't we quickly tell people where you are and how you're set up with your vineyards?
Yeah, well, originally we started in Coston in 2016.
Yeah.
And then a couple years ago, we purchased the property here in Osoyoos, and with that, we were able to secure a long-term lease on a vineyard here, and as well as our estate property here. So starting in Coston, name still to be determined. We're growing our Chardonnay, Merlot Blanc, which got hit hard by harder than we expected by the winter freeze, and then we got some Pinot Noir there, and it's just a perfect setting as we're kind of elevated. It's a kind of a sloped vineyard.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous, and just great terroir for what we have planted there, and then as well being on the river, so it really allows us to have get really, really extremely warm during the day, but at night we get a definitely river effect and cools down the entire vineyard. That really allows just a perfect setting for those three varietals.
I've been in thousands of vineyards. I tell you, right on the it's right on a little elbow on the Similkameen, looking towards the mountains south into the U.S. border. Like, it's just a fantastic site, and one that's coming to life with Chardonnay. I mean, we all love Chardonnay and the Similkameen and the stony soils and the spare soils. I think it's going to be a really great property for your wines.
We're so excited when we first purchased it, and as we've kind of learned more and more about the different styles of Chardonnay that we can make, we've really kind of grasped the blast style that really allows the fruit to shine through, but also with the acidity that the soil is able to give our plants out there, it creates a really, really dynamic style of Chardonnay, and consistent, which is great because again we get very, very ripe, and then we have the ability to really decide when we want to pick without having to worry about ripeness.
That's the best.
Exactly. And then also we've had some Pinot Noir from neighboring vineyards around that area too, which prompted us to plant our own Pinot Noir block, which will be coming on the full production here in the next year or so. Yeah. So we're really excited to start rolling those out as well.
Our guest is Mike Dowell, winemaker and owner at Liber Estates. Now, you're a Cabernet Franc fan, and you found quite an intriguing little vineyard down in the south, almost at the U.S. border in Soyuz. Tell us about that site. It's a lovely site.
As the French say, slope dictates good grapes. And then we have a nice sloping Cab Franc block there as well. We were able to secure a long-term lease. And it really, again, allows us to produce, what we feel is top quality Cab Franc. So the vines are now going on to their 14th leaf year as well. So some nice age coming into those vines. And production is still quite consistent. And again, the levels that we like to see before we pick. And again, we're so far south that we always get ripe, other than the odd year that we don't. So we've kind of called that little mountain vineyard because there's a little bit of a mountain on there, it's a hill, but there's rock showing on it. So I guess you could call it a little mountain. Yeah. So it's a unique terroir as well, because we're pure sand on that site. So it's really neat when we have to try to come up with our different management styles in terms of watering and irrigating those two different properties, as well as our third property, which is very rocky. Here in Soyuz. So it really allows us to kind of get the dynamic fruit coming in through the cellar that we like, and it gives us lots of options.
The Franc's delicious. You got a lot of competition down there, not from your neighbors, but from bears and coyotes. And so do you get out there in the middle of the night and scare them off, or how does that work?
I'm too tired. I got kids.
You're
usually
too tired.
I'm in bed early, but we try to. The bear problem isn't as bad here in Soyuz for us, but in Costin for sure the bears are sneaking around there quite a bit. So
it's never a dull day.
No. Yeah. I think we saw an owl the last day we were there, so that was kind of cool too. Yeah. So there's all sorts of wildlife everywhere.
So the latest project, you bought a home just off of Highway 97. Now you're probably about a kilometer from town, a kilometer north, and you've got another vineyard going there that you've planted. How's it doing?
Well, it's young, so this was our second year with it, but it did quite well. It survived the winter very nice, which is good, so we didn't lose a lot of plants, although we do have a lot of new basil buds that sprouted, so we didn't get any fruit off it this year, but next year we're expecting to get a little bit. Mm-hmm. We planted the big red varietal, so we got Malbec, Petit Verdot, Cab Sauvignon planted here because we feel it's just a nice, nice hot spot, as well as the soil structure is, again, uniquely different. We have a lot of different, river rock, I'd almost say, like round rock, as opposed to in the other site, which is all sand, so we had to make the proper rootstock and the clone decisions on it, but we're really excited to start working with, Malbec, Petit Verdot, and Cab Sav, and then, depending on if, we make a blend, a new style blend, or, if we'll just do single varietals with those three products.
Well, By the way, we're talking with Mike Dowell. He's a winemaker and owner at Liber Farm and Winery. Here's a couple of things I noticed. You have the best wine sign in British Columbia now. It's so beautiful, the sign that you've created on the highway. Tell us a little bit. It's a very intimate little tasting room. And then you have, well, you know, in the normal summer weather, you got this beautiful little arbor and trees where you've set up. So how has it been working out for you to be at, is it 14,000 Highway 97? Is that the address? Or?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, it's worked out great. It's, you know, other than, you know, unfortunately, some of the seasonal effects of fires and travel bans that kind of hit us this year. Yeah, we like to kind of create more of an, you know, since COVID, with more of an open aspect atmosphere. The tents, the tables allow, you know, free flow. You know, we have the cherry trees there growing, the old cherry orchard that we still kind of kept around.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can pick the cherries by your own discretion because we don't spray them in anything. So, but they're usually pretty good. So, but yeah, again, very, very welcoming. We don't want to, you know, we're not in that position, or we're not the type of people that want to create like kind of a very, very closed style or you know, tasting room. So we definitely invite people down. We can accommodate bigger parties. We can accommodate almost up to 50 people in that tent if somebody wants to come and, you know, rent the tent or bring a bigger group. So that was kind of our thought process. And being on the highway, of course,
definitely helps for sure.
So.
I love the tenacity of small growers, and I think they're like the heart of BC. A lot of things going on at the moment in BC, a lot of discussions among big wineries, small wineries, but in my estimation, it's the small people that are going to win out in the end, because they're the ones people want to visit, and you have that kind of property. So kudos for setting that up and getting people in there. Now, for our listeners, if you go to liberestates.com, what's available at the moment? What can they pick up as we head through into the holiday season?
We pretty much have everything still available. The rosé is getting pretty low. But other than that, you know, we have our Everyday Chardonnay 2022s on there. We are getting a little low on the Reserve Chardonnay 2019, so we'll be releasing probably the Reserve Chardonnay 2020 here soon, and you'll probably be seeing some of that come across your doorstep here pretty quick as well.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, we do have some stock still kicking around.
Good.
For us, which is a good thing, because, you know, looking into the future, we may be one of the few that may have some wine still around for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
which is good and bad, but, you know, so we're pretty well stocked.
Well, always a pleasure to talk to you, Mike, and I know that some people have decided to double down on what's happened and are moving forward with their customers. We hope that you're going to be one of them, because we need guys like you working in the Okanagan.
Oh, yeah, we're not going anywhere soon. We're in this for the long haul, and, you know, like anything, any type of business, there's ups and downs, and, you know, it's just what it is. So at the end of the day, I'm hoping to look back at this, and it's just a bump on the road, and we're just going to keep on going.
Yeah, well, think of the Antinoris. They just look back for 26 generations, so they've seen a few bumps, and they managed to overcome them. And I hope that we're able to do the same thing.
I hope so too.
Thanks so much, Mike. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks again.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. That was Mike Dowell, winemaker owner at Liber Estate. Still ahead, Grant Stanley, winemaker at Spearhead Winery in East Kelowna. He joins us today to talk about clones. On the radio weekly in 26 cities across British Columbia, or on demand on all major podcast platforms, this is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in the Soyuz. Join other small businesses on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales@watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan, and my guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Kenzie, on the show, we talk a lot about the wineries of the Cowichan, and we enjoy talking about the rich culture of the area, in particular about the local Indigenous culture. What can you tell us more about the First Nations?
Yeah, it's really important to acknowledge that Cowichan is home to 10 Indigenous communities. It's located on the traditional territories of the Kowatsin, Malahat, Subasit, Halalt, Penelakit, Stamenis, Lyakson, Pakwachin, Didydot, and Patchydat peoples.
That is amazing, and it's good to know that the arts and culture continue to be active in the Cowichan Valley.
Yeah, definitely. First Nations culture has always been and will remain a big part of Cowichan's fabric. The famous Cowichan sweaters can be found throughout the region, which feature Coast Salish designs. Cowichan also features a variety of other highly talented artists, painters, potters, sculptors, woodcarvers, jewelers, glassblowers. You can see their work throughout home studios and art galleries.
And beyond the arts and culture, Cowichan also is a popular destination for outdoor adventures.
Absolutely. Cowichan is a huge hiking and mountain biking destination with a large network of trails, everything from beginner-friendly to extreme terrain. The region's warm climate makes it one of the only regions in BC that has year-round mountain biking. So there are over 170 trails covering 180 kilometers.
And no worry about being exhausted. We can do some water activities after the big mountain climb.
Yeah, Cowichan features oceans, rivers, and lakes, so there's easy access to water activities. You can go paddling, sailing, fishing, swimming, even whitewater kayaking. Far west in the region lies Nitnat Lake, which is an internationally acclaimed destination for windsurfing and kiteboarding.
Fantastic opportunity to rediscover Indigenous culture and all the activities of the Cowichan has to offer. Kenzie, an absolute pleasure learning about this today.
You're most welcome.
Make your plan to visit the Cowichan at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
And now, a BC Food and Wine Radio spotlight on British Columbia wineries, presented by Valley First Wealth Management, working with you to give you confidence in your financial future. Valley First Wealth Management is a division of FW Wealth Management Limited.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our next guest, we're heading to East Kelowna to speak with Grant Stanley. He's the winemaker at Spearhead Winery. Grant, how are you today?
Excellent. Thank you, Anthony. Nice to hear from you.
Great to catch up with you. You know, one of the things I like about early harvest is people are around to speak. So have you been done for a bit?
Yes, we're actually just in the process of barreling down the Pinot Noirs, which is, you know, insane to be doing that in October. It's usually well into November before we're doing that. But this year we began, I guess, about a month earlier than usual, which huge surprise. But and even at that stage, you know, it was amazing how ripe the grapes were. It's there was tons of heat units here this summer, and ended up having an excellent harvest. A good chunk of the fruit, or a majority of the fruit in here, came from our growers in Summerland and the Naramata Bench.
Right on. Well, I thought today we could have a little master class on Pinot Noir clones, just for people to understand a bit more. But just before we start, you have a new sub-app there. So let's tell people where you are and how you're, what you'll be calling your wines now that are grown you know, around the estate.
Yes, well, that's very timely because I just did an event with my colleagues from Tantalus, David Patterson, and then Taylor from Cedar Creek just the other day. So we had a chance to present wines from the two new appellations. We originally were aiming to produce one or have one general one, but they found that the lake influence was hugely significant. And so we ended up with two new sub-GIs, and it's the South Kelowna Slopes, and we ourselves are up here in the East Kelowna Slopes, just overlooking Kelowna. And, you know, we will be, you know, obviously my program, I have, you know, sourcing from vineyards, as I said, all the way down to Summerland and Naramata and the Boucherie Bench. And so we're dealing with, you know, multiple GIs, and we certainly plan on declaring that in all the bottlings in the future.
Okay, well, let's talk a bit about clones. I don't want to get super technical, but for people who just want to understand why we even mention clones, let's talk about Pinot Noir and how the clones work and what you're doing with them.
Sure. Well, clones, you know, for the layman, there's nothing kind of genetically modified or, you know, deeply scientific about them. They really are just, you know, fantastic vineyard material from great and generally famous vineyards that have a reputation for producing great wine. Nurseries get a hold of these clones, usually they come through a form of a vine improvement group. Yeah. For example, the University of Dijon in New Zealand, it was just the straight, you know, New Zealand Vine Improvement Group. And it's effectively a way to improve the, or continually improve the breed of Pinot Noir worldwide.
Yeah.
So the French have been doing this for years, and we are able to import those clones directly from France. The nurseries obviously bring them in. My experience with them was that there's, you know, some older clones. The Pommard clone and the Vadensville clone were the foundation clones for, you know, many Oregon and California Pinot Noirs. And then, of course, we had the Dijon clones, which came in and were really produced for winemaking as opposed to viticulture because, mm-hmm. you know, they had super, super small berries,
yeah.
You know, really concentrated flavors. They all have very romantic names, as you can imagine, you know, the 115 and the 667 and the 777. You know, they're really just numbers that were, you know, labeled to them after they were collected from the vineyard and nurseried.
Yeah.
We used to have more. We had about 8 different clones here on site planted at the Spearhead home block. And now we're down, we've actually, you know, have less than we had before because mm-hmm. we imported some California clones that didn't necessarily grow too well here in the Okanagan.
Yeah.
And so those are gone, but we love the 828. And I have a little bit of a history with that clone myself, but I imported that clone during my tenure at Quailsgate.
Mm-hmm.
And it just suddenly, you know, popped up on the approval list. And so I brought it into the country and we planted it pretty widely over a few acres. And now it has become, you know, a really top Pinot Noir clone here in the Okanagan. And this year I made a pure 828 clone. It's not the first time I've done that. I did that a decade or so ago as well. And a couple of years ago here, but you know, it's just a great standalone clone that makes good finished wine on its own.
I'm speaking with Grant Stanley. He's the winemaker at Spearhead. I remember the original 828 you made, which was quite a big sort of a husky wine, but this one is just gorgeous. I had a chance to go through it this week. It's just been released, and it's at quite a modest price, too. I believe it's like $45, if I'm not correct, or is it $65?
Yeah, good to hear you that you say that's a modest price.
Well,
you know, prices are moving up around the valley, in particular for Pinot, with the high demand and the high cost of the fruit and the high cost of growing the fruit.
Now I want to ask.
You know, but we
yeah, I want to ask you a question. So you mentioned the Pommard clone, and like I'm thinking, as these clones age and say they're in the ground for 20 or 30 years, it could become the Spearhead clone, could it not? Like from your region,
absolutely.
And that would.
Yep. I mean, they morph, or you know, they basically become part of your site after they they leave their teenage years behind and become more mature.
Uh-huh.
They really lose clonal identity, and they literally become, you know, more suited to the place. They evolve and adapt to the place, which is what Pinot Noir is all about, really.
Yeah.
Ever changing climates and ever changing, weather events cause us to have multiple clones in our vineyards so that we can kind of protect ourselves from you know, cool years, hot years. Also, it's great to have a nice variety when you come to the blending.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing mostly, as you know, I'm doing mostly single vineyard wines now.
Yeah.
And within those vineyards, you know, generally they have, you know, at least 2 or 3 different clones that are blended together to make more complex wine, more ethereal wine than a single clone expression.
Yeah. I don't want to run out of time, but if folks go to spearheadwinery.com, there's a number of wines now that are available online. Again, at some very modest prices. So some of the wines that, you know, I really love that you're making, like the Clone 95 Chardonnay. But just tell us a little bit, because we're sticking with Pinot. So you have Coyote, you've got Golden Retreat, you've got Saddle Block. What should people know about these or the differences? And then the Cuvée, which is a very interesting wine as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have evolved in terms of our fruit sources as well. You know, as you know, Pinot Noir is in super, super high demand here. Mm-hmm. Up in the valley, and so you know we've actually acquired 2 new vineyard sites, and we're now producing wine from a beautiful vineyard called Jagged Ridge that'll be coming out in the near future in the Naramata Bench, and another great vineyard called the Blueberry Hill Vineyard, which is a fantastic vineyard in Summerland. So those are new 2 new single vineyard wines that we'll be coming out with. The others are available still in the wine shop. You know, generally most of the Pinots are sold out here pretty quick here, but I believe that there's still some 21s available.
Yeah, there are.
And yeah, and you know, the program really is that, you know, we have these multiple sites that we're working with, and we literally separate them out and try to, you know, express the site and the farming as much as possible in each bottling. And so we're generally producing about six Pinot Noirs. And you mentioned the cuvée. The cuvée is the one that I get to play with the most because I get to select from across all of the vineyards what I think is going to be the best blended wine. And it's usually only about 14 barrels. It is our, you know, our pride, our top wine.
And you actually, Ed, I didn't mention the consensus, but you bring in your club members and do a blending with them, and they actually get to put a wine together, which does quite well, by the way, when it's tasted blind out in the marketplace.
Yes. Well, last year it was our platinum the National Wine Awards, Tony, and we are very proud of that. And of course, I get to defer responsibility to the wine club members with their selections. I literally just put the wine together as they taste it. And, you know, I don't let them mess it up or anything.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I give them a choice of 10 wines and they pick their top four. But all 10 wines are good.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they
can't
they
mess
really
it up.
Just select what they like. They can't mess it up, but they're extremely proud of their efforts, of course. And we have them to the winery, all the wine club members, or as many as possible, once a year to conduct that blending exercise. And last year, of course, there was, you know, lots of hooting and celebrating based on the fact that they received the only platinum.
Grant,
it really means that I should probably give them, you know,
yeah,
even more responsibility in
the
blending
of
the other wines as well.
Maybe play a little more tennis or something. Listen, Grant, that's how fast the time goes. But just before we run off, it's been a tough year. What do you think about your vineyard next year? You think you're going to have a pretty good recovery rate, or is it still going to be a struggle?
No, you know, we are in the wine industry. We are always increasingly optimistic of the future.
Yeah.
As I say, the weather and you know, where we grow Pinot Noir worldwide is always on the edge.
Yeah.
We need cool and we need warm in the same site in order to really preserve the fruit. And so we do. We have tricky harvests and tricky vintages. The last couple have been really tough. But we're in a bounce back mode for sure. We're hoping for, you know, no nasty -30 cold events in November and December.
Yeah.
And once we get through that, we're retraining a lot of trunks this year, replanting the areas that were hit hard in the last couple of years, and looking forward to getting back to full production.
Right on. Grant, thanks so much. Fantastic to talk to you. Lovely seminar, a masterclass in Pinot Noir clones. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, Tony. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Right on. That was Grant Stanley. He's the winemaker at Spearhead Winery, spearheadwinery.com. You get to that site, you'll find all the Pinot Noirs there. Still to come, Aurelio Montes Sr. He's a partner at Montes Wines in Tilley. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
Join us next time for another Spotlight on British Columbia Wineries presented by Valley First Wealth Management, working with you to give you confidence in your financial future. Valley First Wealth Management is a division of FW Wealth Management Limited.
Penticton, a perfect place for a romantic escape this fall. Stop in for a visit to one of almost 100 area wineries. Enjoy the quieter time of year with an intimate wine tasting for two, sample some Okanagan vintages, and take in the beautiful colors of fall. Dine out and experience delicious, locally sourced restaurants too. It's the ideal destination for an autumn getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown
and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A perfect place for a BC road trip this fall. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a fall getaway with gorgeous changing colors and menus. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, winery events, and help planning your trip. Go to visitpenticton.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Ooh, I love it when you do it like that. And when you're close up, give me the shivers. Oh, baby, you wanna dance till the sun.
Hello, British Columbia. Welcome back. Joining us now is a legend in the wine business and a giant in Chile, Aurelio Montes, the founder of Montes Wines. My association with Aurelio goes back many, many years. How are you today, Aurelio?
Tony, so nice to hear you. Yes, that's true. We've been together in the wine world for so many years, so we are close friends and we have walked the wine business together for long.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, when I first met you, I couldn't believe how much work you had done when I first met you, and yet you've done so much more. I don't know where you get all your energy. When do you think best? How do you put together, you know, the way that the winery is going to go in the future? What are you thinking about, and when do you do all that?
Well, Tony, I'm as I told you later, you know, I'm like Johnny Walker, still walking. I'm very, very active, actually. I move around, you know, the wineries and the vineyards. And, of course, what's helping a lot at this precise moment is the incorporation of Aurelio Montes Jr., my son,
yeah,
which is a winemaker, also graduated from Catholic University. He's a very, very good winemaker, and he's a very good, you know, technical director. You know, he's got a team that he works pretty well with it, and I'm always looking up on his shoulder to see that things, you know, go the correct way. So that's the way I'm handling things now.
Yeah, but you've never been afraid to do different things or to like, for instance, I mean, everybody almost lives in Santiago and you know works there, but you already went down to Colchagua. Like, why did you go there? Why did you fall in love with that region?
Well, I've been 50 years roughly, you know, running in the wine business, so I've been getting and gathering a lot of information and experience. And Colchagua Valley, to me, it's a top valley for especially for red wine production. And as you move to the coast, it's very good for white wines, you know, because of the coastal influence. So I decided to establish Montes in Colchagua because I really believe in that since I left university, that I have been exposed to grapes and wines of so many regions in Chile. So that was the beginning, actually. And then within Colchagua, we moved to the coastal region that is called Marchihue. Marchihue is about 15 kilometers straight line from the coast. It's more coastal than Apalta. No one ever before planted a vineyard there, but we analyzed the soil, studied the climate conditions, we decided that it was totally possible to plant vineyards there. What we did, with a great result, today we're getting most of our premium wines out of that particular, estate. So our DNA, Tony, it's to explore, go forward. We're not afraid of that. And maybe the reason is that we're not desperately looking for profit and money. We just do what we want. If we want to plant, you know, in the Atacama Desert, we will do it. If we want to plant Antarctica, we will do it. We're not afraid.
I love it.
That's the reason why we have been quite explorers and quite successful in our exploration.
Yeah. Our guest is Aurelio Montes Sr. He's the founder and partner at Montes Wines in Colchagua Valley, Chile. And you lost your great friend and partner, Douglas Murray, who opened so many markets, but you're not afraid to export. I know that you're still traveling and going to those markets. Do you learn a lot when you go outside of Chile? Do you learn a lot about your products from other people?
Totally, totally. First of all, let me tell you about my dear partner, Douglas Murray. He was a monster, in terms of marketing. He was the most talented man I ever met in my life in the marketing and the business side. So I learned so much with Douglas. And it's a pity that he left, he passed about 10 years ago. But he left, a path, so well established in all the markets, that for me, it's been rather easy to follow his steps, mm-hmm. And represent Montes and Douglas' intuition when I go and travel and walk those markets. So still Douglas is present in spirit, in the company and in myself very deeply. So we're following his advice, his talent, his advice, and it's been pretty good. And of course, as you asked me, visiting those markets, especially the Asian markets, that Douglas was so fond on Asia.
Yeah.
When I visit China, actually last Friday I came back from Seoul, Korea, in which we're brand number one in Korea. I visited our three different importers in China, and I finished a trip in Philippines, where we have a good market, believe it or not, but in Philippines, wow, there's a big market for wine.
Yeah.
So, and in every one of those, I felt, the presence of Douglas there.
Yeah, that's so great. Listen, we don't have a lot of time, but I did want to, since we have you on the line, and we talked a lot about Carmenere with your son recently, I wanted to talk about the Alpha wines at Montes. First, why Alpha? And tell us about Alpha M and the Cabernet as well. What's the thinking behind these two wines?
Well, Alpha, as you may pretty well know, Tony, the Montes Alpha line was the platform from which Montes Winery went, it was like a co-ed from a very strong platform that we built on the Montes Alpha range. Montes Alpha range, of course, was our top wine since we started until 1996, that we started with the promotion of some of our icons. We started in 1996 with the Montes Alpha M. Well, the Montes Alpha is a selection of our best Cabernet Sauvignon grapes coming both from Apalta State and Chihue, the two states that are in the same valley, but being Apalta more inland, so it's warmer, it gives a certain style of that Cabernet, and Chihue, it's coastal, so it's more spicy, less alcohol, fresher, more joyful, and the combination in certain proportion of those cab plus a 10 or 12% of Merlot was what gave the real base for the success of the Cabernet Sauvignon wine. That's been our angel that made Montes grew at the level in which we are today. So in 1996, we had already nearly 10 years of existence as a winery. I decided that there was a good place, a spot to produce an ultra of high quality Cabernet Sauvignon variety.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit of my decision. I wanted to prove myself and to prove the world that Chile had the quality in the Bordeaux varieties to create a super wine that could compete in a blind tasting with any wine in the world. So after working myself with the different alternatives and percentages, the final blend is an 80% of Cabernet Sauvignon, a 10% Cabernet Franc, 5% Petit Verdot, and 5% Merlot.
Yeah.
And that combination of wine, you know, of course, always a selection of our top quality grapes from our own estates. In this case, it's Apalca, 100%. It goes for 18 months into French oak barrels, roughly 70% new barrels and 30% used barrels. Mm-hmm. And then for a year in the bottle before we ship it to our market. And it's been a real, real success. So we got, you know, the target that we were aiming to. You know, we got it because the wine has had outstanding comments from the wine critics. And it's very highly reputed.
And I think, you know, Aurelio, it's also been part of your mantra because Chile was always, you know, it launched as sort of a value wine place, which was it was kind of a moniker that was maybe fun at the time, but it never, it held it down for so long. And I'm so happy today to see them going up the mountains and, you know, you're going to Zapallar and all these other places doing, you know, exploring all the extremes and really finding your feet now and making it, you know, one of the more interesting places that's currently producing wine in the world. So you should be congratulated on that. It's been a long journey convincing people that Chile can make top-flight wines.
Real, Tony, I feel very proud that besides, you know, the success of creating Montes, which is one of the top wineries today from Chile, I think that we showed a path, a way to small, especially small wineries, that you could go for quality-wise if you were enough, you know, talented and brave and go for new things. So I think that we played a role in the Chilean wine industry besides, you know, creating a winery like Monte.
Yeah. Well, it's been such a pleasure to chat to you today about Chile, Aurelio, and we must get together while we're still walking.
But
I can't wait to get back to Colchau. It's a magical place. You got a fabulous winery there when people can go and visit from the Feng Shui to everything going on at Montes. You are on the cutting edge still, and you're to be congratulated for that. Thanks so much for, you know, joining us today on the show.
Tony, it's been a pleasure. Whenever you need a contact, here I am. Waiting. I would have really a great pleasure, you know, to receive you back in our winery in Colchau. We have many things to show you.
Okay, Aurelio, thanks so much. Say hello to Junior, and we'll catch up soon.
Okay, either in Chile or in Canada, but we must see each other before we stop walking.
Yeah, okay, it's a promise.
Okay, Todd. A big hug to you, and thanks so much for this call.
Thank you. That was Aurelio Montes Sr., founder of Montes Wines. By the way, you can catch our video interview with Aurelio Montes Jr. on Gizmania on Wine, where we explore the world of Carmenere. Okay, up next, we go to Vancouver Island. Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyard, gives us an update on his Pinot Noir on Vancouver Island. You're listening to BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we will be right back.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Credba. She's the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Erin, Langley's home to a variety of sports teams, and some are just starting their season.
That's right, Anthony. Hockey has started in Langley, and we have four different hockey teams that offer the opportunity to enjoy a game.
Four hockey teams. Can you explain a bit about the differences between them?
Of course. Perhaps the most well-known team is the Vancouver Giants, who play in the Western Hockey League. and home games are played at the Langley Event Center.
Okay, that leaves three more teams. What about them?
Correct. We have the Langley Rivermen, Langley Choppers, and Aldergrove Kodiaks, who play at the Junior A hockey level. Now, while they are at a different level of hockey than the WHL, these games are an equally fun way to spend an evening in Langley.
Well, it sounds like a great way for hockey fans in BC to cheer on the home team while they're visiting Langley at the same time.
It is a great idea, and there are plenty of accommodation options, and visitors can spend some time beyond the rink exploring Langley shops, restaurants, wineries, craft breweries, and more.
What a fun way to spend a few days taking in the best of Langley.
Yes, Fort Langley is full of locally owned boutique shops and local farm shops.
And I imagine the restaurant options are equally diverse.
Yes, there are fine dining options like Bacchus Bistro at Chabertin Estate Winery or Saba Bistro, plus cozy cafes and coffee shops and local favorites like Haven Restaurant or the Barley Merchant. And those are great stops before you catch a game.
And as always, there's complete details for these events on your website.
That's right.
Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
People always ask us, how do you taste? What we don't do is taste one wine in isolation. We choose a grape or a style of wine, then we taste a number of samples from around the world, so we're constantly benchmarking the quality of, say, BC Chardonnay versus Burgundy, the Sonoma Coast, Argentina, or New Zealand. That way we get a better picture of where that wine sits globally, and our readers often benefit from getting more wine for less money. I'm Anthony Gismondi. Why not compare wines with us at GismondiOnWine.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we're back with a special shout-out to Oliver Osoyoos and all 25 other cities in total across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're crossing the Salish Sea today to talk with Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Daniel, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Tony, for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Great to have a winemaker. Are you getting some sleep now, or what's happening at the winery?
Yeah.
Almost done, or done, or what's up?
Starting to quiet down. It's all the fruit's in a couple weeks ago, just after Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and,
nice.
We're starting to press the reds off their skins. And
okay, let me stop you there. So I know that, but what does it mean when you press them off the skins? How do you decide? What's the thinking process there, and where is it going?
Yeah. This is the part I really enjoy. To me, it's one of the most important decisions in red winemaking, and I spend a lot of time agonizing over it. We're tasting the wines every day. I like to get everyone involved in that, my cellar interns and assistant and whoever's around. And I'm really looking for when the mid-palate comes and the wine feels whole, mm-hmm. And the length starts to show, and so it's this I think of it in many different ways, but kind of the balance between acidity and body and tannin all kind of starts to come together. That's when us.
Yeah, and a little bit of experience helps too. And a lot of experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I feel like, just starting to wrap my head around the vineyards in Cowichan here. I've been here now. This is my eighth harvest, but starting to get to know these vineyards.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the two things that are the hardest to understand are, picking the grapes, eating them, chewing them, tasting them, saying, okay, let's pick today. And then what you're talking about now, the pressing off. These are key decisions in the quality of the wine. Let's talk about the quality of the vintage. 2023, not so good in the Okanagan, but was fairly normal. How would you characterize the Vancouver Island?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm very grateful for our vintage here. It's tough when you see your fellow winemakers across the province, you know, having a really hard go at it, and you're on this side, and it's looking pretty good. But yeah, it was actually an excellent year. Yields were slightly below average, but nothing too significant.
Yeah,
and the quality was very, very good. We don't have any, you know, smoke taint issues. We didn't have any of the frost winter damage. No hail. Not too severe.
Gee, sounds like a party.
So I don't mean to brag, but you know, it was a very good year. And you know, it was kind of one of those easy years. Things ripened relatively early, and we were able to do our picking decisions before any major rains. We had a hot, dry summer.
Oh, okay, Dan, now you're bragging now. Okay, all right. we should say, although they didn't get much of a crop in the Okanagan, the quality's quite high, so we can at least depend on that. We're speaking with Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyard. Just a very quick catch-up on you planted a fabulous new vineyard, and I hear the water's in, the pond's in. How are things going in the new vineyard? Does it have a name?
We don't have a name yet. I do have one, one that I like, and I think there's a couple we're floating, but I'm not gonna pitch it to you. I should talk it over with my team before we put it out there. We're close, but I know we need to get a name for it so we can actually call it properly. It's looking beautiful. It's starting to really come together. There's posts in the ground. It looks like a vineyard now. All the baby vines we planted. It's a 40-acre plantable vineyard.
Wow.
We've got, I think, about 32 acres or so planted, so we have a little bit to fill in next year.
Wow. 32 acres, is that more than that's planted in Vancouver Island?
it seems like a lot. For sure.
Yeah,
we're coming from our home vineyard at the winery is only about 10 acres.
That's fantastic.
We buy from a number of local growers to make up our current production. And so it's a huge step for us. But the site is just looking beautiful. There is this pond we dug, which is, I could talk for hours about it. It's, I think, a really sustainable solution for water capture in the winter, because, as you know, we have plenty of water in the winter, and then it goes dry, and there's droughts almost every summer now.
Yeah.
And it didn't, you know, we just were relying solely on that pond water that we capture in the winter, and then irrigating the vines with that when we need to. And it didn't go dry. It worked perfectly, and it's already full again
from
the last rains we've had.
I don't want to run out of time here, Dan. I want to talk about two new releases, the Pinot Noir Saison Vineyard, maybe a quick explanation what Saison Vineyard is, and then the Chardonnay. Tell us about these two releases.
Sure. Both 2021s.
Yeah.
And 2021 was, I think, a similar year as we just had, 2023. If you recall, it was the heat dome year.
Mm-hmm.
So good ripeness on these wines, but still have that Vancouver Island delicateness to them. They'll be released on April 4th. They're going out to Wine Club first, and then shortly after that, available to others. 21 Chardonnay will be Wine Club for a while until we sell out of 2020. Still have a little bit of that. I think you can expect sort of the Chardonnay. With the Chardonnay, there's a kiss of oak. Most people won't notice it. It'll taste like a tart, good acidity, cool climate Chardonnay.
Yeah.
A little bit of sort of peachy white fruit. And Pinot Noir, I have them both in front of me at the moment. It's sort of very aromatic, ethereal. I'm surprised at how open it is today. There's still some grip there, some tannins to let it age, but it's It's showing right nice right now.
I always tell people they should comparison taste like a Vancouver Island Pinot Noir like Unsworth against something from the Okanagan, say a Spearhead, one of those, because they're so different, and it's a great opportunity to illustrate why we have different names for different regions and different winemakers and different wines. So we celebrate that in BC, and we've got a lot of opportunity yet to explore. So thanks for taking us through those. I know there's a lot going on. I'm going to quickly run through. You got a new chef, Dan
sure.
Bain, at the restaurant, and the restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Wednesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8, basically lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Chef Dan's doing some great things. He's always got like a little smoker in the back. He's doing his little projects, and it's always smelling good when I walk by. The new menu is actually being launched very soon. I don't have a date in front of me for that, but I'm tasting, getting a preview of it tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, you see, that's the kind of thing we don't get at Bell Media. There's no chef or restaurant here. We just, we're in a pretty dry studio, but winemakers, I don't know. It's quite a life.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. Yeah. I sort of always, we spoil our staff a bit too, and in especially in harvest when we're working 12-hour days.
Good for you.
Get dinner from the restaurant. So.
And the tasting room, still open year-round?
Yes, open year-round. The hours are Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5.
Okay.
And Monday and Tuesdays, 11 to 4, just slightly shorter hours on those quieter days.
Yeah.
But those are our winter hours. We go a little later in the summer.
Yeah. And people can expect next year, there's going to be a lot of construction going on at Unsworth. Lots of good things are coming down the pipe.
Yeah. So we've got an expansion on the winery and a new tasting room in the works. Now they're a little bit far off to be sort of launching them, I guess. We're looking probably at 2025 opening, rest assured, everyone can know that it's we're still going to be open during construction. We've designed it in such a way that it allows us to maintain our business
usual
while we're under construction.
Dan, such a pleasure to talk to you and have a positive update from Vancouver Island. For folks, it's a quick ferry ride over there to the Cowichan Valley, much to explore, and it's really kind of the Little Italy of British Columbia, if I could say.
Thank you.
Yeah, people should get over there and slow down and taste some wine. Thanks for joining us, Dan. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, our guest was Dan Wright. He is the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards on Vancouver Island in the Cowichan Valley. That's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stuart Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.